So, Mike, one of the things that following the iOS minimalism show that we did, and we talked about our home screen habits and things like that, and folders and how much we have or whatever, I thought it might be interesting to just talk about our other screens and maybe a little bit about how we have them arranged, but even more so, maybe talk about some of the kind of neat little apps that we don't have on the home screen yet we like and use a lot, and maybe have them on a secondary screen, and basically call out some of these neat apps.
Yeah, man, sounds cool. You do know this is going to be a lot of work for you on the show notes, though, don't you?
Yes, I do know that, but I'm hoping that at least the apps that you mention, you'll send me those links so I can do that. Yeah, but I'll start.
Go for it.
All right. So first off, so on that last episode, I forget what episode number that is. Number three. Thank you. I kind of talked about what was on my home screen and such, and I may have even posted a screenshot or two here or there. What I didn't mention was, so on my second screen, that second screen contains all of the built-in apps outside of a folder, just all the built-in ones. Contacts, calendar, iPod, iTunes, notes, voice memos, YouTube, go across that. So if it's a built-in app, it lives on that second screen. Obviously, all the built-in apps that are included now don't all fit on that second screen. No. There are things like Game Center and Settings and such that bleed over to the third screen. Settings I keep on the third screen in the far upper left-hand corner, so I can... I can always locate it easily, because I find myself going in there and turning stuff off more often than not. You install some new application and it's got badges and stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't need a badge for that. I'm gonna turn that red dot off. Last thing I need is more red dots telling me what responsibilities I have. I'm just going to call up a couple of things a few apps I love.
Cool.
Maybe are under the radar, people haven't heard of. QUP. QUP I find I use more often than not. It kind of scratched an itch I had for a while. And I had put out a call on Twitter. I'm like, hey, here's, random app developer, here's a good idea for an app. And then someone responded, oh, you know what? I think this guy's working on that. You should talk to him, And I hit him up, and he's like, yeah, I've got an app like that coming out soon. You want to test it? And I'm like, heck yeah. QUP is this. QUP simply allows you to add things to your Netflix queue as quickly as possible. This may not be of interest to some of our international folks, but over here in the U.S.
I wished it was of interest.
we have a service here called Netflix, and basically you sign up for a certain number of DVDs or games. They do games, too, a month. And you fill up a queue, and they will mail you the DVD, basically, to rent, and you keep it for an unlimited period of time, and when you're done, you mail it back, and then they mail you the next item in your queue. So, I'm only on the one DVD plan. So, I get one DVD, I watch it, I stick it in their prepaid envelope, I send it back, and then they just simply send me the next DVD on my queue, all for one low monthly price. Okay? And it's as fast as I could watch them, as many times, whatever. So if I can watch a DVD every day, given mail time and stuff like that, I could theoretically have up to 15 DVDs a month for the low price I pay. But I digress. The problem I always found was I'm out and about at lunch talking with a friend, and they're like, oh, man, the other day I watched Movie X. I'm like, oh, tell me about Movie X. I've been interested in that. Oh, dude, Movie X is off the chain, man. It's the freaking bomb. Because, you know, that's how my 40-year-old friends talk. Yeah. And it's the shiznit. And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll have to add that to my Netflix when I get back home, and I type a reminder to myself, and now I'm da-da-da-da. But with Q Up, I can search for Movie X and go add to queue. And even with the tap of a different button, I can say add to the top of the queue, because if it's that much off the chain and that much of the shiznit, I want to get it like next in line, right? And it's really great for doing just that. It's one of those apps that kind of does one thing, but does it very, very well. So that's Q Up. I really like it. The National Public Radio, once again, U.S. listeners only, sorry. NPR has a great little app for, I'm kind of a NPR junkie for a lot of their shows, This American Life, Prairie Home Companion, you know, what have you. Also, some of the great music stations here in the Twin Cities. We've got The Current, which is a local station, but they stream internationally, and they're really great. KCRW has an all music channel out of the public radio station in LA, and so this allows me to find all of that great stuff along with their specialty programs, their specialty interviews, and it opens me up to all sorts of new music and all sorts of interviews and information that I normally wouldn't just be able to turn on my local public radio station and listen to and get. I should mention that my father is in radio, and so I grew up with a love of radio. Absolutely love it. I think any iOS talk would be incomplete if I didn't mention the wonderful Plain Text by Jesse of Hog Bay Software. Plain Text simply allows you to it hooks up with Dropbox and allows you to type, have a really nice iOS writing environment that synchronizes with Dropbox in plain text files. And it looks gorgeous, and it just plain works, and you type, and it just gets saved to your Dropbox, and when you go to your computer or you go to any other Dropbox-enabled device, you can access that plain text file, and it's really fantastic. So, yeah, that's just a few of the other apps. I've got a total of 4 pages. But I will say that the 4th page is really, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 apps in a folder on there. And the folder is nothing but apps I'm beta testing. Because I like to keep those kind of all in the same area. So I know, hey, that's where those live. So that's what's behind the curtain, as it were, on my iPhone. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, so let's look at some second page stuff for me. Ego is a great app. A lot of people may have heard of Ego. It allows me to do one of my favorite things in the world, which is check numbers. So I've got in Ego. Ego is like a sort of widget, really, which will allow you to check statistics for things like Twitter, Google Analytics. It allows me to check the Squarespace stats for the Bro Show's website. Tumblr stuff as well, so it will show me sort of for the feed burner how many people are subscribed to a feed. It does it all in a very, very nice little interface. It has an interesting iPad application as well, where it shows you the same info that the iPhone one will, but also allows you to log into each of these services just by tapping on them. The main reason I like Ego is it just gives me all of these numbers in one place, because all I want to know is either how many followers something's got, how many hits it's had in the past 24 hours, or how many people subscribed. And it saves me so much time rather than logging into each service. I can just bring up Ego and it's all in there for me.
Yeah, I use Ego and I like it a lot too. Just curious. So, it tracks, you know, analytics and things like that. What do you use for analytics? Are you using Google Analytics? Or are you using Mint or some other package? Because it handles them all.
When it comes to the Bro Show at thebroshow.co.uk, yeah. Slight plug. The analytics that Squarespace comes with are fantastic. Are really, really good. But I also use Google Analytics for comparison. Simply because it's just simple and free. And I use Google Analytics for the podcastingproject.co.uk as well. And after my abomination a couple of episodes ago, I did buy both the podcasting project and the podcasting process because I could not work out what I wanted to call my own blog whilst recording with you.
It's okay. It's all right. I understand.
I did get a bit of flack for that. I just go with Google Analytics. It's good. It's what the industry care about as well, really. You know, people believe what Google Analytics numbers are, I suppose. We all love Twitter, and we all love to have followers on Twitter. And if you really want to get granular about it, I use BirdBrain as well. It's another fantastic app. Something that our good friend Mr. Ian Hines wrote up about a little while ago, because he mentioned it because somebody had asked him what it was when he published a screenshot of it. BirdBrain is a really great Twitter statistics application. That it allows you to sort of track how many followers you have, how many updates you've posted, how many times you've been mentioned, and it will track it over time. So, for example, you can see the differences 7 days ago, the differences a month ago, from your following then to your following now. Obviously, it only can build this up as you have the app. Once you go into it for the first time, it won't tell you how many people followed you 7 days ago because it doesn't know that information. It can only get that information the longer you have the app. So the longer you keep it around, the better it will be for you.
About that. Will allow you to manage followers within it? So, like, you know, I want to unfollow or people you follow, so I want to unfollow this person or that person. You know, I want to go through my whole list and kind of say, okay, you know, check. Okay, unfollow all. You know what I mean?
No. And I think that isn't... I think it's something they'd like to have because they have a list of followers and you can go in and unfollow people. I think it might be... I could be wrong. Could be an API problem. Because of the way that this app works, I think that they would like it if you could do that.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
you have to...
I recently was looking for an app, and Ian had suggested BirdBrain, but, you know, I what I really wanted to do was kind of go through and see, you know, kind of get analytics on the people I follow and make some choices based upon that.
I mean, you get a list of everyone that you are following, and you can go in individually, and it's just an extra button press. But you can't sort of press the edit button and then just mark a load and delate.
I gotcha.
That's great. But
can you go in and say, oh, okay, this person, you know, tweets on average 30 times an hour, you know, and then at that point say, okay, I want to unfollow this person?
No, all you get is their basic statistics.
Okay, all right.
Unfortunately. I think, again, because it would need to be caching that information, which it doesn't do. But it's a great app just for the vanity stuff.
All right.
If you live in London, you need to own Tube Deluxe. If you dare to venture onto public transport, you will definitely need this app. For example, if you are faced in one of the many rail closures that happen every weekend, this is a very... You had your American bit. I'm having my London a bit.
It's all right. It's all right.
If you dare to travel onto Mayor Boris Johnson's Transport for London on the weekends, then you will know the horror that will meet you as you're told that everything is being improved and the way to improve it is to close everything. Tube Deluxe is really the app for you. I mean, what I love about Tube Deluxe, it will give you sort of, if you put in, I want to go from Wood Green Station to Beacon Tree Station, it will tell you the routes that you can do that. It will give you all the possible routes in which you can do that. It also will do this underground, So it has, it must have some sort of database. And developer Malcolm Barclay has thought of that since. Originally, you couldn't do that. But a lot of people will need to know this information while they don't have an internet connection, which is when they're on the tube.
So I think
that's a bit of genius thinking, really. So, for example, if you're stuck somewhere because such and such train now has a signal failure, you can plug in, I'm here, I need to go here, and it will do it all for you. If it knows that there's closures on a line, because they can be preordained, then it will also route around the closures for you. And we also have a map, just a basic tube map, so you can plan a route manually if you want to. It's a fantastic application. And if you do frequent the underground, it is a must.
Now, I will say that that sounds really useful for even someone just visiting. So it's not completely like, you know, exclusive to the UK. I mean, that's something I would download for sure.
Without a shadow of a doubt, every tourist needs this application. Because I mean,
that sounds awesome.
We close so many lines here on the weekends. It is because we're preparing for the Olympics, basically. So the mayor is trying to make sure that during the Olympics weeks that nothing will go wrong, and that that the tube lines can take the amount of people that will be coming onto them.
Makes sense.
I could rant on about this for hours, but it's another podcast. So yeah, it's definitely you would need it, because especially non-English speakers need something like this, because you know, if you're a non-English speaker, the worst thing is to be stuck somewhere you don't know where you are. And the last one that I will mention is an app called Sky Plus. Sky is the satellite TV provider that everybody has in the UK. We have a couple of choices, but practically everyone goes for Sky. They've done a recent update to their app, their Sky Plus app, which is beautiful. When you open the app, you're presented with a splash page of interesting programs, like recommended programs to be watching. And it has information about the programs. It has lovely, like really, really gorgeous images. It has an awesome TV guide, which does this cool kind of rolling effect as you scroll up. So as you scroll up, the channels below in the sort of the TV guide sort of flick down, it's like as if it was made of plastic. And it might be a bit difficult to explain, but if you'd see it, you knew what I've meant. As if it's sort of spring-loaded, so they're flicking down.
Nice.
But the best thing about this, if you are a Sky Plus user, and Sky Plus is basically the DVR service, for anybody, you know, not knowing this, you can set programs to record in the app. So if you're like, oh, I need to record, I don't know, Got to Dance, which was something I just saw when I opened, not something I watch, you can just press Sky Plus record, and as long as it hasn't started, it will record it for you. So when you get home, it will be waiting for you on your Sky Plus box, which is very, very useful.
For U.S. folks, I will say that if you have Elgato's iTV, which is the ability to basically watch and DVR things on your Mac, this little hardware software combination. I have one and love it. And I don't have cable TV. I think I've mentioned that at some points here and there on the internets before. I rarely watch TV, but you know, every now and then there's a special occasion, like you know the Oscars were on, and I wanted to watch. Well, I've got ITV, and I've got just a regular antenna, a digital broadcast antenna, that I can get local HD channels on, and it will, you know, it'll pick up the HD, and ITV will show it in HD. It's great. So I could watch the Oscars in HD and on my iMac. Which acts as my television, really, since we don't really have a TV because we don't watch much TV, but, you know, everything we watch is on Netflix or you know, whether it's on DVD from Netflix or streaming from Netflix or Hulu or, you know, what have you. We do almost everything streaming, but for those things that don't stream, ITV is great. And the ITV actually has a great little both iPhone and iPad app that both allow you to watch over your Wi-Fi any shows that you've DVR'd or recorded or whatever, but also allow you to schedule things for DVRing and recording from the iPhone and from the device. It's just really nice. So I'm only pointing that out, not to steal Mike's thunder, but just to say that there are alternative sort of similar things for U.S. users.
Good stuff.
So, and what about, like, so how many more screens do you have on your...
I have one more screen after that. On that screen is basically... So on the second screen, I have stuff like games as well, some reference applications like dictionary and that sort of stuff, weather stuff. And then I have on the third screen, the third and final screen, I have a bunch of utilities like PayPal, Amazon, Dropbox, that sort of stuff. And then all of the stock applications in a folder, all of them except clock and calculator, calendar, that, you know, the really useful ones. So stuff like voice memos and the horrendous notes feature is all in there. And I have a flashlight app because they are useful.
I found myself in need of one today. Earlier today I was meeting with an insurance adjuster and needed to see somewhere that didn't have a flashlight, and iPhone came in pretty handy.
I suggest one called Light, just LIGHT. It uses the actual LED flash.
Nice.
So that's useful.
So one final thing before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. On episode 3, where we talked before about iOS minimalism, you right after that episode, you went through and you did like a major purging. You really took that to heart.
Oh,
can you
yes.
report and give us an update on that and how it was and what
I
it was like?
I believe I had around 160 applications. I think that was about the amount. I'm now down to 65 in total. And I have no folders on my home screen.
That rules. That's great. I'm proud of you, Mike, actually.
Thank you.
I'm proud that you kind of took some of that to heart and put it into practice. That makes me feel good.
Well, I've got to. I can't be sitting here talking to you about this with 2,000 applications on my iPhone. It just doesn't work.
Understood. All right. Well, I think that wraps this one up. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate the time, and we'll talk later.
Will do, buddy.